Welcome to the Inside Pass, News 24's dedicated Rugby World Cup podcast. Thank you so much to all of the listeners for joining us today as we continue build up in what is a massive week for South African rugby. The Springboks taking on Ireland on Saturday, 9 p.m. in Paris. A clash of the titans in World Rugby. Ireland currently ranked number one in the world. South Africa ranked number two in the world. And yeah, it's about as big as it gets in terms of World Cup pool rugby. I'm joined in studio once again by Herman Mostert as we'll talk around some of the talking points to emerge from yesterday's Rassie Erasmus press conference and a couple of fitness updates as well. Morning, Herman.
Morning, Lloyd. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. I suppose the big news is certainly around Eben Etzebeth, and it looks like, from what we can tell and from listening to Rassie Erasmus speak yesterday, who was up for media, Eben looks to have recovered from that shoulder injury and is in line to play against Ireland. I mean, in a game as big as that, how big a boost is that for the box?
Yeah, massive boost. Obviously, Etzebeth is a physical specimen, and he adds a massive physical dimension. No team wants to see him in the lineup against them. And it also gives the box the opportunity to have Argus Neyman and possibly John Klein on the bench, which those two will be two great impact players. Obviously, John Klein knows Ireland well because he plays at Munster, knows all the players well. So having Etzebeth in the starting team will give the box that edge that they could bring on later in the game as well. It seems like he's definitely going to play, because initially it was said that he was going to be out for 7 to 10 days. There was some doubt that he could miss the Ireland game.
Yeah.
But Rassie said yesterday that it's now 7 days that he's going to be out for. So he's going to be fit on Saturday, but unless something else happens in the meantime.
Yeah, and of course was injured in the first half of South Africa's opener against Scotland, and that's certainly some good news for the box. I suppose the other changes you would expect to see, obviously Malcolm Marx is out injured now, and Dion Faree you would expect to continue on the bench. That team is announced at 7 o'clock tonight. We'll be bringing you that live as it happens. Kaniso Chwaku is still on the ground for us in Paris with the box all day today, and he'll be bringing us updates throughout the day in terms of what's happening there. The other talking point that was quite interesting from yesterday's media engagement was around Rassie's future, and there've been reports, you know, both here in South Africa and abroad in Ireland in recent months that Rassie was on his way to join Irish Rugby as their high performance director, I guess the equivalent of director of rugby over here, following the end of Dave Nusafora's contract with Ireland Rugby. And those reports were quite strong and have been for months now. Rassie yesterday pouring cold water on those links, saying that there is no truth to the rumours that he is on his way to Ireland. He will not be following Jacques Nienaber, who will be joining Leinster and Ireland at the end of the World Cup. And yeah, pretty much, you know, providing some good news for South African rugby fans that he's committed to Bok Rugby for the next couple of years until his contract ends in 2025. I mean, do you view those comments yesterday as good news for SA Rugby?
Yeah, in the meantime, because he's still contracted until 2025, but I mean, that's not very far away. It's about probably a season away, and nothing stops him from going to Ireland after that. So, I mean, Rassie and Jacques have a long history together. They followed each other to Munster a couple of years back when Rassie was in charge there. Jacques followed him there as his defence guru. And I still wouldn't be surprised if Rassie joins Ireland, or maybe even Munster in some sort of capacity. I see there have been reports in the Irish Independent that said that Ireland, the Irish Rugby Football Union, was looking to appoint Nusafora's replacement from within the system.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if they actually have the candidate they want in their system at the moment. So maybe Rassie's, you know, still available for SA Rugby until 2024. But I mean, there's no guarantees that he's going to stay until after that. So I wouldn't read too much into what he said yesterday. I mean, these things can change very quickly, as we've come to know in the last while. I mean, Rassie and Jacques were still in Ireland, and then very quickly they were back in to coach the Springboks a couple of years out before that 2019 World Cup. So a lot can change. Obviously, as things stand at the moment, there's no offer from Ireland for Rassie to replace David Nusifora. But yeah, 6 months from now, those things could look a lot different.
Yeah, you never quite know what's going to happen in the fast-moving world of international rugby. The direct quote from Rassie yesterday: "There have been no talks, and there is no truth in that," he said when asked directly about the Ireland links. "I'm not sure where it started, but definitely not. I haven't chatted with them, and I'm definitely not following Jacques." I remember I spoke to Rassie before the World Cup, and it was around his. It was an interview around his book that obviously launched, and we spoke about his future a little bit, and he kind of gave off the impression that, you know, as long as SA Rugby is wants me, as long as the Springbok fans still want me, and as long as I'm still contributing and adding value to South African rugby, I'll be around. And, you know, there is the feeling that, you know, that kind of commitment to the project at SA Rugby is still very much alive for Rassie. But what will be interesting is seeing how he operates without Jacques, because, you know, of how close that relationship's been. We're going to cross now to Sim Abanisa in Johannesburg to offer his insights on this. Sim, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Lloyd. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you. Thank you. I understand you're coming down with a slight cold, so thank you for pushing through for us.
I have kids, they say. You know.
Listen, Sim, you know, Jacques and Rassie is the ultimate rugby bromance. You know, I mean, if you look at what they've achieved together over the years, I suppose in that sense, it was understandable that, you know, when Jacques announced and confirmed that he was on his way to Ireland after the World Cup, that, you know, the Rassie kind of question marks would almost inevitably start. But I mean, given Rassie's comments in the media today, it does look like he's sticking around for another couple of years in South African rugby. What do you make of all of it? You know, good news for Bok fans?
Yeah, look, I mean, it probably is, simply because if you look at where South African rugby is right now, you know, I know this time last year we were all very worried about, you know, the title defense, but we're now sitting in a situation where, you know, the depth in the team is so incredible, and the way it's been done obviously has been, you know, is has been the interesting part. That's, you know, that's where the coaching and the leadership comes in. And so if you've got a guy like, you know, who's kind of put that situation into place, saying that he's staying, then probably that's the way to go, because our great failings in years, you know, in previous years has been sort of a consistency of a pipeline and the consistency of performance. And, you know, when you look at the Springbok team now, you sit and you look at and you think, you know, with these guys, you could go quite a long way. You could start looking like the All Blacks in terms of your win ratio and stuff like that. So I think, yes, it is a good idea. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, you've also got to ask, you know, this is what, year six of the project, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So Rassie is to go for another 2 years, and his assistants, which is Sticker and Dion David, are meant to go for another sort of 2 years, which basically would make it a 10-year project in terms of under the same coaches. Like I said earlier, I've got a 9-year-old who already glazes over at, you know, and, you know, when I tried to sort of rattle his cage in terms of scaring him into behaving a bit better. You know, there is a saturation point, and the question has to be, when would that saturation point be, regardless of, you know, what a genius Rassie has come across as being. And that's if I were to say I have a fear, it would be that. Yeah. It would be that maybe we will reach a saturation point. But, you know, in terms of the nuts and bolts of the rugby itself and the direction we seem to be going, I'd be lying if I said I had a problem.
Yeah, because I suppose that's kind of, you know, exactly the point. When do you let go? You know, I mean, when you've achieved everything there is to achieve, and you've taken this project in the direction that it's in, you can leave it in these kind of safe hands. And Jacques obviously reached that point now where he's kind of gone, you know, I've done what I can here, and it's time for me to move on for another challenge. You get the sense that with Rassie, it's almost a legacy thing and a handover thing, that in the next 2 years, you know, it could be setting it up for somebody else and for the next era of Bok leadership. You know, based on that, do you think that the logical step when Rassie does decide to go is for a Stick Davids kind of leadership to then, you know, move a tier up and continue the legacy that Rassie and Jacques started?
Yeah, look, I suspect that is the sort of grand plan, to, you know, like if you kind of look at it closely, the way everything has been phrased in terms of what the changes are going to be going forward, you know, Rusty is talking about going back to being head coach instead of the director of rugby, which to me kind of like gives the impression that maybe he wants to hold the hand of whoever is, you know, the next guy directly from, you know, from the coach's box instead of, you know, from upstairs in the office. I mean, I know that he's been doing that anyway, with the Jacques Nienaber, but it feels to me like what he really wants to do is then to install one of his assistants as, you know, as the coach who would take the team to a third, to a third World Cup together. That is the plan, but as Herman said much earlier, geez, 2 years is a lifetime in rugby. So
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if those plans got scuppered easily by maybe a change in leadership at SARU or whatever else, you know?
Yeah. Look, I mean, in a week like this, the Boks certainly don't want to be even having these discussions. So I think Rusty's obviously done the right thing by, you know, extinguishing any talk around that link as much as he can.
That's exactly the thing. Imagine if he'd said, yes, there are talks and whatnot. Imagine the level of disruption for a team that's already lost its main hooker, actually go in without its main lock. And, you know, we've got all these sort of moving parts. You don't want to add to, you know, to that in terms of disruption. There's only so much change a system, you know, even as settled as the Boks can take, you know?
Yeah. And looking ahead to Saturday, Sim, I mean, is it a coin toss type fixture for you? Is it that close? Or as a South African, do you have this kind of comfort going into that match, given what you've seen from the Boks in their first two outings?
Jeez, I think comfort's a strong word, simply because these guys beat the Boks the last time they met. B, they're still ranked number one in the world. Yeah. Like I said, you know, the Boks are going in without their main hooker and could go without one of their main locks, which then to me kind of like, you know, sort of swings the balance in terms of making it even closer. I must admit, if Malcolm Marx was still there and if even Etzebeth was guaranteed to start, I would quite easily say, you know, this is an easy South African win, simply because I can't see how any team in that World Cup can put up with, you know, the physicality or the quality of forward that the Springboks have. Yeah. But with these new changes, I think it does give everybody else a bit of a look in. And, you know, who better than the team that's obviously, you know, one of the favorites to win, you know, the whole thing. So, yeah, I think it'll still be close. But I would like to think, Jesus, it's just my opinion, I'd like to think the Boks will still emerge a bit stronger, because when you look at that depth, look, the one thing that really worries me is obviously the situation at hooker, but, you know, everything else is kind of like as according to plan, you know?
Sim Abanisa joining us from our Johannesburg newsroom, offering his insights. That team announcement is at 7 o'clock this evening. The Boks will announce their match day 23 for Saturday's blockbuster fixture against Ireland in Paris. Herman, from your side, I mean, some interesting insights from Sim there, and Rassie also toyed yesterday with the idea of a 7-1 bench split again, but I mean, really, really difficult to see the Boks going that route in a game this big. 6-2 on the bench, stock standard stuff you would imagine with a scrum half and a versatile backline option.
Yeah, I would think 6-2. You would probably think that Willy Larue comes would be a utility back option, and then the scrum half reserve would be Grant Williams for me. Although Grant Williams is also very versatile, as he showed, he could play on the wing against Romania. But yeah, you would expect that to be the route that they would be going, not the 7-1, which they did against the All Blacks. Obviously, the Boks confirmed that Andre Pollard is not going to be available for the Ireland match because he joined the team a bit too late. So if he was available, or if he was up for selection, then it would have been interesting to see whether the Boks would have then maybe reverted back to a 5-3 split, in order to accommodate Pollard, because it seems like a guy like Willy Larue, is almost, he doesn't seem to be, it looks like Damien Willems is the guy to start at fullback. So, but then again, it doesn't seem that they want to drop Willie Leroux completely. So if you have to accommodate for Pollard and Willie Leroux, then you also have to still pick a scrum off reserve, which means you'd have to go for a 5-3 split. So it'd be interesting to see how that pans out for the remainder of the tournament. If they want to bring Pollard into the mix, whether they then go for a 5-3 split or a 6-2 split. But I can't see them not picking a reserve that can't play scrum off. So it's going to be a bit of a head-scratcher going forward, but not for this weekend. You'd expect a 6-2 split when the team is announced tonight.
That's at 7 o'clock, and News24 will be bringing you that live as it happens. Kaniso Chaku is still on the ground for us in France. Thank you very much for joining the Inside Pass. The headlines from the Springbok camp so far, that the team announcement is tonight at 7 o'clock, that Eben Etzebeth is what it seems to be, close to full fitness and in line to play in the match against Ireland this weekend, and that Rassie Erasmus has poured cold water on rumours linking him to the Ireland job post-Rugby World Cup, saying he is staying in South Africa. Thank you so much for joining us. All the best. We'll chat again tomorrow.